Take your Bible, if you will, and turn to Mark chapter number 8. Mark chapter number 8. Once you find Mark chapter 8, I'd like for you to find verse number 34. Mark chapter 8, verse number 34. And as we always do, would you stand with me out of reverence to the Word of God? Mark chapter 8, verse number 34. I'm going to read out loud, and you can follow along silently. Mark chapter 8, verse number 34. The Bible says this: "When he had called the people unto him, with his disciples also, he said unto them, Whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself, and take up his cross, and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. But whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel's, the same shall save it. For what shall it profit a man, if he shall gain the whole world, and lose his own soul?" The sermon this morning is entitled this: Man Made Hell. Man made hell. Father, bless us now. Give me the attention of the people. My time is short, but God, you know no time. So you can make something supernatural help in the time allotted this morning. Help no interruptions to come, and if they do, might they be limited. Give us the Holy Spirit to help us today in this sermon, both in my voice and in our ears as we listen. God, do something in this place today, please. And we pray in Jesus' name, amen. Funny scripture. Jesus said, "Whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself." It's a passage of scripture that a lot of Christians miss in this life. Deny ourselves. The very next verse may be one of the greatest ever penned for a Christian. It says, "For whosoever shall save his life shall lose it." Whosoever shall save his life shall lose it. You say, what's that mean? Well, whoever tries to be happy will probably end up being miserable. Because this really, the key to life is not all about you. It's all about you being good to others. The Bible here, it's talking about selfishness. I guess every parent in here, it's something that we try to teach our kids not to be selfish. Let me give you a little story that will help you. Some birds were flying south from up north because the winter was coming. They were about halfway to their destination, and they looked down, and there was an icy cold body of water, and by that body of water was a frog. And that frog was waving his arms up at those birds. Birds looked down and said, "Look at that frog down there by the icy water. Let's go down and see what he wants." And they flew down. And the frog said, "Listen, you're going south where it's warm. I'm stuck here in the cold, chilly north. Take me with you." And the bird said, "Well, you can't fly. How could you go with us?" And the frog said, "I've been thinking about this. I got an idea. Here's what we'll do. I found this piece of string. I'll put one piece of this string in your beak," he said to one bird. "I'll take the other end of the string and I'll put it in your beak," he said to the second bird. He said, "Then I'm going to grab a hold of that string with my mouth. You can fly, and I'll hang on, and you can take me with you." One bird looked at the other bird and said, "You know what? May work." Frog said, "I know it's going to work." And they did it. One piece of string in the beak of one bird, one the other end of the piece of string in the other bird. They pulled it real tight, like a clothesline. That frog, he clamped on to that string, and the bird, one winked at the other, and they took off. That old frog, he had a hold of that rope. His arms and legs were just a dangling to beat the band, but they were flying. They're moving along. They're making real good progress. And all of a sudden, a farmer up the road, he comes out. The old farm door slams. He's got his bibbed overalls on. He comes out on the front porch. He looks up and he sees those two birds and that frog. He said, "Look at that. Look at that there. I never seen anything like that right there. Them two birds and that frog. Look at that frog. They don't wonder where they're going. Ethel, come out here, woman. Now, come on, right now. Come on, woman, come on. But put that down and come out here. Look up here. Look up yonder. Well, you look at that. You see that? Yeah, well, you see, I ain't seen anything like that before since I've been to your family reunion. I tell you. Them two birds and that frog." And the old farmer said, I wonder whose idea that was. And the frog said, "Mo." And he spent the rest of the winter in the cold, frozen north. Yeah. Hey, and by the way, therein lies the basic problem with the human race. He had to get credit. He had to make sure that he didn't get bypassed. And in essence, it hurt him. You know that, folks, most of our failures is because of selfishness. Because of me, mine. Listen to me very carefully. The word self in the Greek language comes from the word automeos. It's where we get our word automatic. Our flesh, the automatic thing, is that we want to take care of ourselves and think of ourselves. Hey, you don't have to train children to fuss and fight over the last cookie. They can do that without any training. Why? It's the automatic reaction of the flesh. Now, the word selfish in the Greek, that's an interesting word. The word selfish is this word, autos hades. Auto, which means self, hades is where we get the word hell. Selfishness is a self-inflicted hell. It comes from our self-centeredness. I call the sermon, Man Made Hell. The person in this room today who is in the most hell on earth is the person that lives for themselves the most. She was not nice to me, so I won't be nice to her. He was not nice to me, so I don't like him. I just don't like her. I just don't like them. They're not my type. He received something I wanted. Let me tell you something, folks. People that are always looking at self, 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 you're making yourself miserable. See, just like that frog, you're cold because your primary concern in life is all about you. Speak up to yourself. And you know, speak up for yourself. And you know what, folks? We just want to take care of old number one. Let me tell you something. The Christian life is all about taking care of God and others. Selfish people, they get offended easily. Are you easily offended? Probably you're self-centered. Do you dislike people? Do you have a self-centered life? See, you interpret everything on the basis of how does it affect you? How do you feel about it? What do you think about it? What do you get out of it? Always thinking of yourself. Listen to what Jesus said, one of the simplest concepts in the entire Bible. Jesus said, whosoever shall save his life shall lose it. You know, much of my counseling in life is about selfishness. Let me give you a couple quick Bible examples of this teaching. There's a guy by the name of Lot. Him and his uncle Abraham had businesses together. The business got so big they needed to go their separate ways. Abraham said, Lot, which way would you like to go? And Lot looked at the well-watered plains of Sodom and Gomorrah and he said, you know what? I see all those well-watered plains. I'm going to take care of me. I'm going to give my uncle the wilderness and the desert for his herds. I'm going to take the well-watered plain of Sodom and Gomorrah for me. He was going to take care of old number one. They split and they went their separate ways. Anybody have any idea how bad it turned out for Lot because of his selfishness? David, one day, his men were at war, he looked out and saw another man's wife bathing on top of her rooftop. David said, you know what? I like the way that woman looks. I know she belongs to another man, but I want that for me. I want me to tingle. I want me to enjoy myself. I don't care how it's going to affect everybody else. And David reached out, took another man's wife because David was taking care of David. You all know how that turned out. Judas, the one that betrayed Christ. Somebody came along and said, hey, Judas, if you can help us find Jesus, we'll give you some money. He said, I like money. I'll take money. Money's good for me. It's all about me. I'm going to take that because it's good for me. I want that for me. I want to increase me. Do you know what he did? He was going to make himself happy, and just a few minutes later, he went out and hung himself. Why? Because he's self-centered. Folks, I don't care what the rest of society does. I don't care how much they want to promote so many new philosophies in this country today. It is still wrong to be stingy. The Christian life is still all about other people. A lady came to me and she said, I'm falling apart. I'm falling apart. She said, Pastor, I'm looking for happiness and I can't find it. I said, stop looking for happiness. Start producing it for other people. The basic Christian today just need to get their eyes off themselves. See, folks, you don't get happy by trying to get happy. You get happy by making other people happy. Never forget the day I learned that. My parents were so tickled at Christmas time. They never got anything much. They were happy because they made me happy. I would be careful going around saying this. I'm mad. I'm hurt. I'm upset. What I want. What I think. I'm offended. Self. 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 Stingy. 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 Autos Hades. Autos Hades. Self-inflicted hell. Are you in hell on earth because of your self-centered, stingy ways? I could help marriages today. I could help relationships today. I could help the strongest to the weakest Christian in this place if you would listen to me about stop living for yourself. You say, well, Pastor, I'm a bit guilty. I'll tell you what. If you feel like you're in hell right now, I'm going to get you out, okay? We're going to bail you out. I won't leave you hanging. Let me give you a couple ways that we can avoid autos Hades. Self-inflicted hell. Stinginess. First of all, if you don't want to live in a self-inflicted hell, you need to get into your Bible. Read your Bible. You say, why? Well, you have to understand something. The Bible is a book all about other people. The Bible says in Psalm chapter 1, verse 1 and 2, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. Here it says, blessed is the man. That's talking about happy is the man. This book can make you happy. I would say if you do not want to live in a self-inflicted, stingy hell on earth, you need to read your Bible. Why? Because the Bible's a book that's all about you being good to other people and caring about other people and putting other people before you put yourself. The average marriage that struggles under the sound of my voice today, it's all because of somebody's stinginess. Somebody wants something for themselves. Somebody, you feel shortchanged. You feel cheated. You feel like you don't get what you deserve. Folks, we all deserve hell. And if we got what we deserved, it would be a tragedy. You better just thank God that you have what you have and get your eyes off of yourself and get your eyes on somebody else. And we could turn this country around. We won't make America great through the economy, and we won't make America great through a bunch of policies. We'll make America great when we get America back to God, and we get America back to the Word of God, and we get America back to getting their eyes off of themselves and getting their eyes on one another. Creation came by His speaking it into existence. The Word of God is pretty powerful. He will put down the Antichrist in the end days by His Word. We get selfish when we get away from the Word of God. You know that if you're saved here today, it was the Word of God that saved you from the literal burning hell. And if the Word of God can save you from the literal burning hell, your relationship with the Word of God can save you from the man-made hell on earth, which is autos Hades. It is self-centered stinginess. If you don't want to be in hell on earth, stay in your Bible. Hey, do this. If you don't want to be in hell on earth, die to yourself. This is point two. Die to yourself. I didn't say kill the other guy. I said die to yourself. Galatians chapter 2, verse number 20 says, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but the Christ which liveth in me, the life which I now live in the flesh. I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. Here, God is saying that you and I as Christians are to die and let Jesus live through us. Brother Hollinger, he helps people with their last requests and needs. He works at a cemetery. Can I tell you all something? Christians are to die to themselves. Jonathan, come up here for a second. You're going to help me. If you ever go to the mortuary, you go to the funeral home, go back to where they put their clients. Close your eyes, you're dead. This guy's dead. The Bible says you and I as Christians were to die to ourselves. If I went back to where those that are deceased are, I could say, you're ugly. Doesn't bother him. I could say, you're stupid. Doesn't bother him. I could say, you're a bum. Doesn't bother him. I could say, you've never done anything right. Doesn't bother him. I could say, you're a crook. Doesn't bother him. I could raise my voice at this numbskull. Doesn't bother him. Why? He's dead. I could pour this bottle of water on his head. You know what? With a dead man, I could hit him. I could kick him. Doesn't bother him. You can have a seat. Thank you, dead man. We're one of the best dead men I've ever worked with. Look at me. Dead people don't get mad. Dead people don't lose their temper. Dead people don't talk back. Dead people don't get jealous. Dead people don't get their feelings hurt. Dead people don't seek revenge. Dead people don't get offended. Dead people don't get even. Dead people don't feel cheated. Die, Christian. Grow up and become spiritual. Let Jesus Christ live through you. And when you come back from the dead, that's when all the offense and the chaos and the hurt feelings come out in life. See, you don't want to live in hell on earth. Die. Stay in your Bible. It's a book about others. It'll keep your eyes off yourself. Stay dead. I don't have time to talk about it. You need to walk in the Spirit. Let's move on. Thirdly, if you don't want to live in hell on earth, don't judge people by the way that they treat you. Man, I'm going to explain this to you. Don't judge people on the basis of how they treat you. Here's what I mean. If Brother Edwards is kind to you, but if he's an old goat to everybody else, you say he's a kind man. Let me say it again. He's kind to you, but he's mean to everybody else. Your perception is he's a kind person. Now, how is it that if he's only kind to you, but he's mean to everybody else, he's a kind person? That's because you are in the center of your own bullseye. The only person you really care about is you. You decide what you think about other people on the basis on how they treat you. But wait a minute, let's reverse that. He's mean to you, but he's kind to everybody else. So what do you think of him? He's a mean man. Why? Because your life's all about you. You know, folks, there are people, man, let me put it this way. There are some people in this world that they don't like me. And as far as I know, they're good people. I'm not the issue. Now, they're wrong about me, because to know me is to love me. Hey, listen, I don't dislike them because they dislike me. Did you know something? Do you know that you could be a good, decent person and not like me? Now, for some of you, that concept just blows your brain away. Because if somebody doesn't like you, how could they be decent? Because you're so ate up with you. You get up in the morning and you decide your attitude based on everybody's treatment of you. What about your treatment of other people? See, I'm not the issue. You can dislike me and be a decent person. Now, I don't think we're supposed to hate anybody. I don't think we're supposed to hate our enemies. I don't think we're supposed to mistreat anybody. Folks, listen. The average Christian walks around judging people on the basis of that person's treatment of them as an individual. I'd recommend you look at the whole picture. If not, you're self-centered and you're miserable. There are people in here, you're miserable, and you're trying to figure it all out. It's because you're stingy. Life is about you. Say, what am I going to do about it? Well, stay in your Bible. It's a book about other people. If you don't want to be in autos Hades, die to yourself. Stop judging people on the basis of how they treat you. Hey, let me give you something else real quick. If you don't want to be miserable in this life, if you don't want to be in autos Hades, I wouldn't go around criticizing people all the time. Being critical people. You know, criticism is usually the result of pride. We look down on someone, so we talk bad about them. Right. We are smarter than them. We have it together and they don't. I've noticed something. We never criticize people that have our identical weakness. Never. We only criticize people that we think we're better than. That's pride. And that's wrong. You know that gossipy people end up being lonely people. And nobody wants to be around them. Do you know in James chapter 3, the Bible compares the tongue to the fires of hell? Look, if you don't want to live in self-hell, I wouldn't be going around criticizing people all the time. I've told people this for years. If you want to criticize me, I would love for you to do me a favor. I'd like for everybody in here, from here all the way over to here, I'd love for all of you to spend about 5 hours this week talking about me. In fact, I want you to. I'm begging you to. I'd like for you to go to your knees and go to my God and spend about 5 hours and say, God, that preacher, you need to help him. He's coming up short. You go ahead and tell him everything that's wrong with me and beg him to give me his power and beg him to give me what I need and beg him to give me the energy to do right and beg him to make me better and beg him to make me stronger. But I got news for you. You could tell everybody else in the world and it won't make a lick of difference. If you want to make a difference, you tell God on your knees. If not, it's usually pride that causes us to criticize, and that's a self-centered, sinful, wicked, nasty way of life. And that's why people are miserable. You don't want to live in autos Hades. You don't want to live in hell on earth. Stay in your Bible. It's a book that's all about other people and the treatment of other people. If you don't want to live in that autos Hades, die to yourself. If you don't want to live there, don't judge people on the basis of how they treat you. Don't criticize. Hey, listen, learn to forgive the way God forgives. Learn to forgive the way God forgives. There's a story in the Bible. I love it. There's a fella that needed forgiveness. And he owed a huge debt. And the one to whom the debt was owed forgave him. Well, this guy that had just been forgiven of, like, you know, if I made millions of dollars worth of debt, he's on his way home. On the way home, he sees somebody that happened to owe him a few bucks. And I mean just a few bucks. And he says to the fellow that owes a few dollars, he said, hey, you need to pay me. The guy said, I can't pay you right now. He said, I'm going to have you thrown in jail. You're going to be tortured for not giving me back the money I owe. You know what's really sad about that? He had just been forgiven of millions of dollars of debt. Then he wouldn't turn around. He wouldn't forgive somebody else. Can I tell y'all something? Can I tell you, if you're a born-again Christian, you've been forgiven of millions of sins. What right do you and I have to not forgive some other lowly human being that has sinned against us when we have sinned against our God and He was willing to forgive all? The people in here, you call it holding your grudge. There are people in here, you can't get over anything because you are so self-centered, you think it's all about you. And it's not. You say, they hurt me. Well, there's your favorite person. You. Worried about yourself. You know, if God can forgive you of your many trespasses against Him, you could forgive others. The unforgiving say this, I've been cheated, I've been hurt, I've been left out. Can I teach you something real quick? And folks, we're coming near the end of the sermon, so hang in there. Can I teach you something real quick? If you're mad at me, and you won't forgive me, you say, I am mad at you, Pastor, and I am not going to forgive you. Did you know that there is a possibility that I could sleep at night anyway? You're being mad at me doesn't mean I'm going to lose sleep. When you're mad and won't forgive, who is the one that's for sure to suffer? You. Hey, listen. This is a concept, again, totally foreign to most Christians of today. Forgive that other person because it's good for them. That's Christianity. This is how I feel about it. Pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. Some of you, you have a spirit problem. You got an attitude problem. And it's self-centeredness. You say, what am I going to do? I just stay in your Bible. Tell you about other people. I die. Die to yourself, Christian. Don't judge people on the basis of how they treat you. Don't criticize. Learn to forgive, right? This is the last point of my sermon, and we're going home. Force yourself to put others first. Really simple. This is not a hard sermon. Autos Hades. What is it? Auto, meaning self. Hades, hell. Self-inflicted hell. Stinginess. Selfishness. Next time, you're at Walmart, give somebody else the good parking spot. Do what's best for somebody else. I was at Lowe's the other day. I was getting ready to pull into a spot, and I watched a car race around the corner, race up, and just dart in front of me. And I thought, sir, I wouldn't have taken it had I known you wanted it. Really, that parking spot holds no precious place in my heart at all. This whole world, it's about eat up with its stinginess and its self-centeredness and me first and me, I. Hey, slow down and let somebody in your lane of traffic. I was preaching in Los Angeles, California. I was preaching a conference in Hollywood. They got me a car at the airport, and the pastor said to me, he said, now, brother, I'm going to tell you something. Yeah, you know, you're from the woods a little bit. You're going to have to be careful out here in the L.A. area because it's every man for himself. He said, I'm going to recommend that when you go to change lanes. When I was going through Hollywood, there was a 16-lane highway. He said, look, when you're driving through here, he said, I'm going to recommend you don't use your turn signal. It's a sign of weakness. If you want it, take it. He said, don't make eye contact with anybody. You could be shot. Wake up, America. America was better off when preachers would stand up and tell America, stop being stingy. Get your eyes off of yourself. Let someone have the last sale item down at Target. Say, there's only one left. There's going to be a war. I lived up near Washington, D.C. It was Christmas time, and they had a big sale at a toy store. It was on the news. People were there at 4 o'clock in the morning, you know, getting the good deal. Steel bars over the toy store entrance at the mall. When they opened the gate, there were people trampled, and there was a fight and somebody virtually beaten near death over a doll baby because there was a limited number that could be purchased. When you push the doll baby's belly, it would say, be kind. Stinginess. You boys and girls, you live at home with your brother and sister. You wouldn't fuss and fight so much if you were not so stingy. Some of you husbands and wives, you're going to destroy your marriage over your selfishness, your self-centeredness. It's all about you. Hey, next time you're at Walmart, let somebody in front of you that needs to check out. Here's how it goes. You got your cart. You got your items. They've got their cart. They've got their items. Aisle number 8. Shortest aisle in the joint. You're 25. She's 70. You can beat her. You can take the old lady. You race. She gets out in front of you. Somehow she gets out in front of you. She pulls into that lane. She begins to unload her stuff on the cart. You look up. Aha! 20 items or less lane. and you do this. I'm going to find out how many. She's got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, 23. She's got 23 items. You old hag, you shouldn't even be in this line. I beat you fair and square to the back of the line. And there are people in here, you have counted the items of the person in front of you trying to figure out if they qualified to be in front of you at Walmart. Why y'all looking at me like that? Put others first. Stop being so concerned about you. Take care of others. Don't worry about you. Don't fight for your way. Be happy if somebody else gets a raise. Let me recommend something. If you ever get a raise at work, I wouldn't tell anybody. Everybody will hate your guts. What would be wrong with somebody getting a few extra bucks to feed their family? The problem is you don't care about their family. The only thing you care about is you. You kids, let your brother have that toy. They're at home. I wonder how many kids fight over a toy. Well, just let your brother have the toy. Say, okay, fine, Pastor. He wants a tractor. I'll give it to him. Push! Teenagers, look this way. Do with your life what is best for your mom and dad. Do with your life what is best for Jesus, not what you want. Safest thing you could do. Every husband in here, put your wife first. Every wife in here, put your husband first. I'll tell you something. I have a passion in my church. I want to serve you. I want to preach sermons from this pulpit that help you. You don't have to honor me. I don't need anything from you. I want to help you. That makes me happy. Makes me happy. That old screen door of the farmhouse slammed. He came out and he said, "Oh, look at that. Emma, come out here. Look at that up there. I'll tell you what, that is something to see. Woo-hoo! Look at that. Them birds and that frog. I wonder whose idea that was." And the frog said, "Ma." We just got to take care of ourselves. You say, if I don't, who will? Obviously, you're an atheist. Obviously. I believe in God. Amen. If you're not saved today, I'd recommend it. You say, "Well, I don't want to." There you go. Doing what you want to do. I'll send you straight to hell. You can go from hell on earth to literal hell by rejecting Christ because you don't want to. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Every head bowed, every eye closed. If you've never been saved, we welcome you to the Savior. If you died today, do you know for a fact you'd go to heaven? If you don't know that, you ought to get born again. Is there anybody here that would say, "Pastor, I'm not saved. Pray for me. I do not know Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. Pray for me." Would you raise your hand? I'm not going to embarrass you. I see a hand. Someone else. I see another hand. Someone else. You say, "I'm not saved. I will pray for you. God bless you." What Christian here would say, "Brother Owens, God has spoken to my heart today. I needed the challenge. God has spoken to me in the challenge of today's sermon." Would you raise your hand and let God see it? Lots of hands. Hands everywhere. Almost every hand in the house. You may put it down. We'll take the time for an old-fashioned altar call. If you're not saved, and if you need to be born again, you're welcome to come. We'll take a Bible and show you how to be saved. If you're a Christian and you need a moment with the Lord at this altar, there are some of you, you could clear up a lot of issues in your life if you just get your eyes off yourself and onto Jesus, onto other people. If you need the altar, maybe you need to come down here and say, "God, forgive me. I've been stingy. I've been self-centered." I'll tell you this. If you're a Christian, today's sermon affected you. As the preacher, it convicts me to preach a sermon of this sort, because we all need to work on it. But if you need to come to the altar, you come. If you're getting baptized, you need to prepare yourself. Here's what's going to happen. In a moment, I'll signal the pianist. She'll begin to play. After she begins to play, we'll all stand. We'll not move. We'll not talk unless we're coming to pray for a moment. It's a big deal. Let God work in your heart. The pianist will begin to play. Let's stand to our feet with our heads bowed, our eyes closed. If you need a moment at the altar, you come. If you need to be saved, we'll take a Bible. You come. We'll take a Bible and show you how to be saved. If you need to pray, you come. Self-centeredness, autos, Hades, self-inflicted hell. The altar is open. This is where we take a moment and let God work in hearts. Churches have lost it. They don't preach the Word of God, and then if they do, they don't give it an invitation where people could get some things straightened out. We spend all of our time apologizing for God. We owe God an apology. God doesn't owe us one. If you need the altar, you come. Autos, Hades, self-inflicted hell on earth. Julie, I may need a name taker or two to help as we get a couple people ready for baptism. And we'll try to do it even back there to make things expedited just a little bit. If you need the altar, you come. Hey, whether you come to the altar or not, I hope you'll let God speak to your heart today and make a difference in your life. We didn't come to church today to be entertained. We came to be changed. We came to let God into the innermost part of us to make a difference in our lives. And if you want to make a difference in our country, you let God make that difference. Let it start in you. If you need the altar, it's open. Won't be long and we'll be on our way. The altar is still open and you're still welcome to come to it if you need to. One more time through the song, if you will, Rachel. Just one more time, please. If you need the altar, we welcome you to come. You need to be saved.